Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Well, good afternoon to you, Jerrica.
Good afternoon, Joan. How are you today?
Well, not so good, as you can see. I'm just fresh from A&E. Unfortunately, I cracked my knee this morning on the fridge.
Oh, dear.
My whole patella's got a really nasty split right down the middle.
Yes, I can see that.
I've hobbled in because I'm, you know, a professional
trooper
through and through.
Yes.
A hoofer and a trooper. I won't be dancing tonight in the show, unfortunately, as I'd hoped to be. I know I'm a little bit gutted about that.
Yes.
But no, I've got this wee temporary cap on my knee.
Yes.
And I'm hoping that'll just take me through to the afternoon and then I can go in for an op.
Yeah, so dear. And that metal structure, will that, will you have to wear that for a long time? Or?
Well, it depends whether they can replace my kneecap properly with the titanium one that I wanted.
Yes. Well, they can do wonderful things
My surgeon, Mahmood, is stunning with his...
He's a very handsome
gadgets.
Man, isn't he?
Isn't he gorgeous?
Goodness, with that...
I know. I said, I don't want to go under. I'd rather be conscious.
Yes, it's quite a tease.
He really is. And he's got that skin that just doesn't age.
Absolutely not. No, absolutely wonderful skin.
Like a lovely latte, and his eyes are like sort of Maltesers with little raisins in the middle.
Yes, and what could be nicer?
And then he's got the sort of hair like... the colour of honeycomb crunchy.
Absolutely.
I think he does dye it
because you could see the darker hairs at the front.
Mm.
And Savage's implant, if you notice when he bends down.
Yes, and that can look quite pubic.
And it looks a little bit pubic, but you forgive him. He's got that wonderful, wonderful hooky nose. He has that strength of jawline. Goodness, I mean, who would...
I know, I mean, actually very witchy in profile, isn't
yes,
he?
Yes,
with a huge hook and the chin almost meeting, like a crescent moon.
Wonderful hands.
Fingers the length of...
Goodness, yes, and the crevices he can get into with those is startling. Mm-hmm. Very talented.
Designed all his own surgical instruments
indeed.
Which is strangely big.
Yes. He's got very big hands, doesn't he? So he prefers those clunky, larger sort of metal instruments as opposed to the lasers and the mini.
There's no keyhole for Mahmood.
No, he doesn't. He doesn't like keyhole. He said to me he thinks it's a fad. As you know, I go to him for my
carpal tunnel.
Exactly. Forgot the word then, which I suffer badly with both hands. And I said, sometimes they're both clawed over quite badly when I wake up in the morning, takes a few sort of flicks and throws of the old arm to get those to unlock. But he's absolutely wonderful. I have injections, as you know, 3 times a week. I've got it much...
They look better today.
Yeah,
I mean, they're still hooked.
They're still at an angle,
clawed,
aren't they?
But they're not fully sort of rolled up into nasty, angry balls.
Exactly, some of the totally...
Gnarly balls.
Totally compact, as you say, into these gnarly
Does
balls.
His cream work, do you think, or not?
The cream... jury's out a bit for me for the cream. He's very keen. He says rub it into all sorts of areas. He showed me the sort of key areas where you rub it.
Curiously, nowhere near the hands.
No, I mean, sort of in a thigh, sort of pummeling up and down the thighs in one session, which was... you know, he's
very
one of
nice.
He's very thorough. It was extremely nice. He's very thorough. I mean, there's not a hint of anything on his face, but you know, ever the professional. So, so if you're listening, Mahmood, good afternoon to you, and well, many, many thanks.
Yes, look forward to seeing you later for my op.
Indeed.
But let's move on to your problems, people out there, because we really do, of course, want to help you.
Indeed, we do.
Dear Joan and Jerrica, my son has recently admitted he's gay. And my husband finds it repulsive. What should I do? He has a boyfriend. wants to bring him over for a Sunday roast, but my husband says gay people don't eat Sunday roasts. Eleanor Piggott from Torquay.
Yes. Well, he's right. On the whole, gay people don't eat Sunday roasts. I know that because of my daughter, Cardinal, and her...
I do think there's a difference, though, between lesbians and homosexual
Well,
men.
True, yes.
You think of lesbians eating a lot more, you know, fish and hummus and...
Yes,
sort of,
sprouts and greens.
Yes, absolutely. Whereas the gay men, it's the more flamboyant foods, isn't it?
It's the finger foods. And the coloured cochineal type.
It's always got to be something quite colourful, ornate, showy. And I suppose a Sunday roast is quite a traditionally brown and beige affair.
Yes.
Yes. Obviously, there's several questions to answer here, which is, you know, your husband finds it repulsive.
Yes.
Is he gay?
Yes. Good point. Yes.
Probably.
Yes. Yes, I mean, I think that that's probably the first thing to look at, isn't it? Realistically, and that repulsion is usually an attraction. I mean, I would say, Eleanor Piggott, Torquay, that you need to be careful of actually your husband popping off in a threesome with these guys. That's all I would say. I'm not overly worried about AIDS. I'm not overly worried about...
I don't think AIDS is around as much now, is it?
No.
There was a phase of it during the 80s when everybody seemed to have it.
It was sort of fashionable. I'm not worried about that now. I think people are using condoms. They're withdrawing much more efficiently than they used to.
I think a lot of times people are not clear on what gay men are actually doing when they have gay sex.
Yes, that's true.
We know that they're walking down the street... keep looking at a person once and then rushing off to the toilet together. We know that happens. But what are they doing in there?
In the toilet? Yes, I mean, yes, absolutely. I think, we know that they're doing probably quite a lot of touching, anal caressing, and we know that they're probably sucking, nudging, probably pushing, and quite a lot of... brushing, I imagine. I think there'd be quite a bit of insertion, anal insertion, either of items or a penile endeavour. Other than that, I don't know.
I know she says in a longer letter that she's concerned about her son being fisted. Because the fellow in question is a very, very large guy.
Right, with large hands.
Yes, he's not unlike the one from... I don't know if you've watched Game of Thrones with the Great Khal.
No, I haven't.
He's enormous.
Right.
I think he looks actually a lot like him.
Well,
Might be him.
In a way, this is a good question, because I know from personal experience that a large hand can sometimes fold up extremely small in order to...
Like one of those Brompton bikes.
Exactly. So it's misleading. It's not always the hand. It's about the stiffness of the
knuckles.
The knuckles or the bone structure. Some people have very, very double-jointed hands. They can virtually fold them up to a third of the size, almost like a telescopic hand.
Also making me think of mice and rats getting under doors, sort of collapsing the rib cage.
Exactly. And... It needn't be painful. It often isn't painful. It's often very, very pleasurable. It's if there's any anal sensitivity for him, and that's something that maybe she can check up on whilst he's asleep or on the loo. Just make sure that there's nothing rum going on there.
She'll probably know from when he was a wee lad, won't she? But as you say, she could spray something up there and see if there's a reaction.
It's a tricky one. Fisting. Yes, I mean, I would say if you're worried about fisting and it's something you want to do, and this is for anybody out there, by the way, there's a few things that you can do if you're concerned. One is to get a great lubricant, anything from margarine to WD-40.
Secondly, as I say, you know, it's not always about the size of the hand, it's about how well the hand will fold up. So, you know, I know some people do two at a time. It's not a big deal.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Does that answer the question?
I think so. I think so. I think it's pretty cut and dried that the issue there is our husband with his own repressed homosexuality is gay. Yeah.
So that's probably the first thing to look at, isn't it?
Yeah. And that's really a question for you, Eleanor, actually, isn't it?
Yes, Eleanor.
Do you want to stay with this guy?
Well, and I suppose a greater question, why is he gay? What is he not getting at
home
that has turned him into...
Because this is one of Jerica's bugbears, and I'm with her, I'm on board.
Mm.
Why is someone gay?
Mm.
Usually because there's a problem, and it's usually the wife.
Yes. Yes. Harsh words, but true.
Dear Joan and Jerica, several people at work say I smell of eggs. How do I know if it's true, and if so, where is it coming from? My mum's never mentioned it. David Agrumberis.
Right. Yes. So, let's dig into this a little bit. Does he say which part of his body he thinks the eggy smell is coming from?
Well, as he says in this short letter, he doesn't know where it's coming from or whether it's true.
Right.
However, in the longer letter, which I was perusing this morning when I was on the treadmill, he is concerned it's his breath, his hair. He even worries that within the nose itself, there is a smell of eggs.
Right.
Within the nose.
Right.
Not that he's smelling eggs, but there's an eggy smell
that's up his nose.
Up his nose.
Right, okay.
And this is David Agrumberis.
And does it say where David Agrumberis lives?
Ipswich.
So, yes, good morning, David. Are we the first people, this young David...
he's not young.
Agrumberis. How old is he?
He's he's mid to late 50s. By
right. No, it's just that he references mum. I'm wondering.
Well, he's obviously living at home with his mum.
Yes, that's what I'm getting at. That's what I'm getting at. I would want to ask some questions. I would want to ask how many eggs he eats, for start off,
if any, because of course you can smell of eggs without actually eating them.
Absolutely, but I think my first protocol would be: well, are you eating a lot of eggs?
Mm.
Are you perhaps inadvertently getting a little bit of egg up your nostril as you eat? If you're an enthusiastic or hurried eater.
A big beard and moustache, it can obviously
send
a lot of food up the nostrils.
That's indeed true. And in fact, while we're on that subject, for guys with beards, they're a lot of fun. The beards can be all sorts of entertaining little bits and bobs in the bedroom. But guys with beards, fecal matter creeps in very quickly. And actually, this eggy smell may well be a fecal smell. He doesn't say whether he's got
a
partner.
How would the fecal matter creep into the beard?
Through role play and anal play, through...
I know that in a longer letter he talks about the fact that he's a single man, he's a lonely man, he lives with his mum.
Right.
I hate to think that there's anything going on between him and his mum.
No, I mean, obviously that's something I presume he doesn't say whether that's the case or not.
But he might have... If mum smells of eggs, she's old. It's very possible.
Mm.
Could he have caught that?
Transferred over.
Mm.
Yes. I mean, all right, yes, that's a possibility, isn't it? Just give mum a peck on the cheek, goodbye. You transfer the fecal matter from her face, which may have got on there from morning toilet ablutions, whatever, unsuccessful ablutions. With the elderly, that's often a problem. And then
how would that transfer to a face?
Well, it'll be a wipe of the body, a rough hand wash. Perhaps she doesn't see very well. She's not noticing. Perhaps there's a blob or whatever. She's wiped on the towel, then she's gone to clean her face, and that's transferred over. So she may not notice. He may not notice. He doesn't say how good his eyesight is. There are a lot of unanswered questions, but I think David Agrumberis, if he's listening this morning, I would say first port of call is just check the towels in the bathroom.
Right.
In terms of other medical possibilities, there's a form of cancer that can make you smell of eggs. I would get that checked, as well as mum and the towels.
Moving on. Dear Joan and Jerrica, I am 64 and would still like to enjoy an active sex life, but I'm having problems with lack of sensation in my genital area, and I've heard that there may be some treatments available to spruce things up a bit down there. And that's from Selena Crockish in Dawlish. That's interesting. That was a rhyme.
Interesting letter. And yes, thank you for writing in. This is something that actually has been on many a mind recently. It's really now a question of continuing sex. Can women be allowed to use
hang up the boots?
Exactly, and use the excuse of I've gone through the menopause. I'm not up for it anymore. Mm. No, sorry. If you're still in a relationship, you have an obligation, and it's about doing your best to fulfil that. So, thank you for this letter, Selena. Mm. And I'm glad that you're taking the time and trouble to raise this very important valid.
And of course she's in Dawlish, which is I always love it when you go on the train down that way.
Absolutely gorgeous. Yes.
Past the sea and yes. Those lovely views there.
Absolutely wonderful.
So she's getting the benefits of the sea air
yes.
down there, which should pep up her libido.
Pep up her libido, but it won't do much good down there, unfortunately. There's been research that's shown that women that live near the seaside often have a much drier, more flaky vaginal skin and can experience a lot of pain and discomfort, probably 5 years ahead of their sisters who live further inland.
Okay, where it's sort of damper.
There's a damper.
I suppose it's salty and drying, as you say, down there, the battering winds
yes.
wafting up.
That's it. And because these people often, you know, if you live near the sea and you perhaps go skinny dipping, again, you've got no lair between yourself, the intimate part, and the sea, so you're immediately going to experience brinal chapping, which can severely affect the epidural layering.
And the sort of texture of the skin.
Absolutely,
it
can in some cases become quite shell-like. With the buffing and what have you.
The other thing is that when you get to, I think it's 61, you were telling me this morning over breakfast, there's a sort of paralysis that goes on in the upper regions
yes.
of the vagina.
It's a spasmic reaction that can then induce paralysis. If you catch it early enough, so on the cusp of, say, if you go and see somebody about it when you're 60, before you get to that 61st birthday, it varies slightly with women, but it's rather interestingly precise.
Except for these women by the sea, that's probably going to be happening around 55.
55, you want to get checked up. And there are things that you can do to prevent it and things that you can do to alleviate it.
Mm.
So now, we have been talking recently on the programme about collagen.
Mm-hmm.
We all know how wonderful collagen can be for our lips and our earlobes and other areas that are fleshy that can get drooped and dismal as one ages. Eyelids, necks.
People don't often think of eyelids as an area to pump collagen into because you can get obviously the fat eyelids, can't you?
You can.
Fat lids.
Yes.
If you have too much pumped into it, look like you've been crying all night long.
That's it.
Or that you're attempting to be oriental in some way.
Yes, no, it can go wrong.
But a little bit of collagen pumped up there will give you a more youthful look.
Absolutely, a sort of little fatty line around the eyes doesn't do anybody any harm, really, quite honestly, in terms of how they look. So, which brings me to the uses of collagen. And, of course, as we become more aware of this spasmodic paralysis down in the area, in the vaginal urethral area, people are looking to find ways of alleviating that. I'm hoping that people like Selena's husband will enjoy the benefits.
Well, obviously what he'll enjoy is with that plumping within that vaginal canal, you're going to bring those walls of the vagina closer together.
Yes.
Consequently, you're going to be, for your husband, lucky guy, it's like the wedding night all over again.
Exactly.
If you were a virgin when you married, as I presume you would have been.
Yes.
You know, suddenly you've got a very nice, tight situation going on down there.
Mm. Yes. Which is, you know, welcome change for the guys. Probably used to butting in and jangling around in the area, flapping loosely amongst the hanging blades of the vaginal
sheath. Incidentally, very useful in the anus as well, if you're somebody who enjoys anal play, anal penetration. Yes. Again, the anus can get very saggy and flappy.
Just very raggedy.
And raggedy, as you say.
I think, you know, I had that collagen treatment done there and it's stunning.
Freed it up.
It's stunning. Yes. It looks amazing.
Yes.
Obviously, I think it's great if you get your anus bleached.
Yes.
And make sure that it's hair-free.
Oh, please get it bleached, ladies.
There's no need for these dark anuses. You know, I really think, let's not forget that area. You know, I think women get worried when they go to get their waxing or whatever done.
Yes.
But look, gay guys are going to get the, you know, what is it, crack sack and back.
Mm.
You know, you do need to really pay attention to that whole
Absolutely,
area.
Totally
guys
agree.
Love anal sex.
Look, I mean, sex is changing. Anal sex is very much coming to the fore. And
it's a biggie now.
It's a biggie. It's very now. And as Joan says, there is no need for dark brown discoloration around the anal area. It's just not necessary nowadays. It's very easy. It's very quick. It's painless or, you know, very little pain. Just go and get it done. There's no excuses.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I think you get some heterosexual men saying, should I do that? Should I be getting mine bleached or my hair is removed or whatever? I don't think they need to.
No.
I think it's manly.
I think that's right.
For a man to have a dark, hairy anal area.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah.
Clinkers or whatever you have down there, that's okay. That's what we expect.
Yeah.
You're a big old bear.
I think, you know, any lady with any self-respect would rather see a fuzzy, blobby, hairy anal area rather than a bleached, pale apology of an anus on a guy when you're, you know, doing 69 or whatever it is that you're, you know, you when it's in your face, you don't want to be thinking, oh, this guy's been to the manicurist or the pedicurist.
No, it's not sexy, is
it? It's not at all.
And let's talk about 69, Jerrica, because it's a fantastic position.
Absolutely.
Which has been forgotten.
I think so.
I know that nowadays a few people practice a 35.
Yes.
And obviously all the gradations from 35 to 69.
Yes.
But 69 is where it's at.
Yes. I mean, look, it's considered very retro. I think it is making a comeback. That's why we're starting to get people looking to their anuses a little bit more, taking a bit more care of their anus, because they know that guys are going to be looking more carefully in that area when you're straddling or upside down, as it were, or whichever way round or up you are. But it's been a neglected position.
Mm.
I'm glad to say that we've got a blog and a vlog about precisely this. It's just worth having a little look at that and catching up with what you're missing.
Absolutely, absolutely. And, you know, we've had people call in before saying, well, I find it a very confusing position. There's too much going on.
Mm.
I don't know what I'm meant to be doing.
Right.
I'm meant to be enjoying what he's doing, but I'm too busy trying to do to him what he wants.
Mm.
And, you know, well, you'd be no good in an orgy, I'll tell you that much, if you're getting confused. I think it's something that you can learn about
Absolutely.
To improve at.
Yeah.
And as always, I think women, it's really your department to really get up to speed with the 69 position and therefore all the associated accoutrements that go with that kind of sexual play.
Absolutely. I mean, I think it's partly about multitasking, isn't it? It's about being able to concentrate on two things at once, sometimes three.
Sort of pat the head and rub the tummy.
That's it. That actually sounds, you know, sounds ridiculous, but if you do want to practice exactly that, if you do pat your head and rub your tummy and get really good at that, I think you'll start to find that the brain starts to be able to expand.
Split,
as you say, and then you will find that you're perfectly capable of giving a wonderful, sensual blow job to a guy whilst receiving pleasure yourself down there with all the licking and the juddering of the tongue that the guy is doing for you.
I think also you need to remember not just performing a fantastic blowy, but also fiddling about with his anus.
Absolutely.
Yep. Don't forget that.
Yeah, don't forget that, because that's easily bypassed, especially if there are things going on for you. Fluttering downstairs, you're going to have to keep focused and remember that You know, you've got fingers, you need to be using those.
Nipples as well.
Absolutely.
You can push those up or tickle the anus with your nipple.
Yes, there's all sorts of things, really. It depends how tall you are and how tall your partner is. Mm. Some things are going to be easier than others. You know, it's playing around, finding what works for you, but most of all, finding out what works for him.
Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you very much to Selena.
Mm.
That was a really enlightening and expansive topic for us to study this morning. Yes. Thank you very much. Love to Dawlish. So thank you as always for sharing your troubles with us, and we wanted particularly this evening to talk to you about getting yourself all snuggly and snoozy for bedtime, because so many people write in with issues surrounding anxiety and insomnia and so forth, and it's something that Joan and I are familiar with but not troubled by.
No,
but we do have tips aplenty.
We do. We have a lot of letters from people that just say I can't sleep. Sometimes it literally just says that. And a name. So here are some tips that we've learnt over the years between us. So Joan, do you want to kick off with your top tips for a good night's sleep?
I mean, I always mush up a couple of bananas, of nanas in a nice hot milk. Plenty of sugar. Now, people think sugar wakes you up, but actually, as we well know, it lifts you up and then crashes
you
down.
Knocks you out, yes.
So let it knock you out.
Yes, let it plummet, let the blood sugar raise and plummet.
And that will make you very full,
a
bit like a baby when it's been really gorging on mother's milk.
Yes, indeed.
You need to have a big bloated tum filled with mushy nana.
And even actually, if it's filled with gas, that can calm you down. So, you know,
it's all about focus, isn't it? Moving focus from anxiety to something else.
That's
if you've got a tight, painful, windy tum,
yes,
that's going to make you think about that and not, I can't go to sleep.
No, but if you reframe your thinking, which is part of what we're always, I know we're banging on about reframing. If you've reframed, well, this big, big old windy, bloated sheep, distended tum. If you reframe your thinking on that and just think that's a lovely full tum, that's a sort of toddler tum that's had milky drinks and bananas galore, mum's tucked you in, given you a little peck on the cheek, dad's popped in and rubbed your head, and off you go and you drift off with this wonderful feeling of fullness and sufficiency. So yes, that's a big top tip, isn't it?
Absolutely. I think those the mum and dad thing is a very, very nice way to look at it, whatever age you are.
Yes, absolutely.
Imagine that they've read you a super story, nothing frightening, and perhaps they've given you a lovely bath as well, because we all need that, don't we? We need to feel the embrace of hot water around us, bubbles all the way up to our eyebrows.
Yes, absolutely.
It's all about comfort and cosiness.
Indeed. And, you know, if you do struggle, whether your parents are still living or have now passed,
or perhaps they weren't very nice to you in reality.
Could have been absolutely ghastly, which is many people's experiences, certainly both mine and Joan's. That you buy yourself some Johnson's baby bath oil or bubbles, and you just pop yourself into the bath. You could lower yourself in as though a parent is lowering you in. You imagine there's strong arms of dad, or, you know, a nice dad if you had a violent or unpleasant father. Just lowering you into those bubbles and popping you in. And maybe you can hum to yourself, sing yourself a little song.
A lullaby.
A little lullaby or a nursery rhyme.
And rock yourself back and forth in the water.
That's it. That's it. And try not to get shampoo in your eyes, because that will, when you've regressed like that, will make you cry quite quickly.
And you can actually then get into that really, really troubled sobbing, the traumatic convulsion.
Sort of screaming.
The abandoned child in the cot who no one ever came to.
Didn't come, didn't hear, didn't listen to.
You don't want to go there.
You don't want to sob yourself off to sleep.
Although that is another method, isn't
it?
This does work eventually.
Yes, you're exhausted and you're just wrung out, and you'll eventually sort of almost pass out.
Yes.
Obviously that's a sort of last resort, really.
The other method, of course, which is frowned upon but will work, is if you eat huge amounts of pasta and lots of wine.
That's right. And then you masturbate. It's a well-known triple. It's the pasta, wine, masturbation
triangle,
which never fails. Cardinal, my daughter, struggled to sleep for years. This was something that she and I developed
Which, of course, you had to do to her before she learned to do it.
Exactly. And, you know, although I now have my carpal tunnel, it's harder for me both to either do it to her or do it to myself. But I've got a wonderful contraption, actually, now, which I got designed by Mahmoud, which I can use to...
On top of your claws?
You pop it on. I mean, it will literally go over. And then I can just move the arm fast back and forwards, and that will do the trick. But don't miss out the pasta and the red wine.
No.
But a lot of people just go straight to the masturbating.
And that won't work.
It won't work because your tummy's going to be saying, oh, no, I'm stimulated and I might have climaxed, but my tummy's empty.
Absolutely.
Yes. And the wine will relax the mind and the brain and... And so
people say, well, then I'm too tired to masturbate. Well, you still need to make the effort because otherwise, you know what it's like. The wine's going to wake you up later.
Yes, that's it.
And then you're going to be in a real old pickle.
If you've got some glucose tablets or something, you can just quickly pop one of those. And if you say, oh, I'm too tired to pop on the claw, whatever, you know, if I'm lying there, I think, oh, goodness, I'm too exhausted. I'll have a quick couple of glucose tablets. That'll give me a flare up of energy. Then I can fire away. Get myself off to sleep post-coitally, I suppose.
You could also have a cigarette afterwards.
Yes, indeed. Yes, and that's another way, of course, to settle is to have a couple of cigarettes,
even if you don't smoke.
Indeed.
We do actually also have a new hypnotherapy CD available. I know CDs are not fashionable. People prefer to download things, but it's very nice to have in the car if you still got one of those old-fashioned cars.
Yes.
But again, this is not really... This is more if you've pulled over on the hard shoulder and you fancy a wee snooze.
Yes.
It's one of those really quick knockout snoozes.
Yes, and if you're a lorry driver particularly, we've had a lot of success with those, haven't we?
Yes,
we have. Yes, a lot of lorry drivers listen in.
Yes,
pleased to hear.
Yes.
Hello, drivers, if you're out there.
We are thinking of you.
Rough, tough guys in your high-up cabs.
Yes.
With your porn and your sandwiches. But we're wonderful to have you listening in.
Yes, we do enjoy it very, very much, and we love your photos.
Yes, wonderful photos.
So keep those coming.
Lovely.
Thank you.
Small details are big surfaces. Tight corners or odd shapes, flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.